Before you are seated, if you would take a Bible, if you have one, and just remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word and open to the book of Colossians, to Colossians chapter 2. And as we would prepare to read God's Word aloud, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church with Miss Marla and Miss Rachel, and we bless the children as they go. And as they go, we thank the worship team as well for leading us in worship of Jesus this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, and chapter 3, verse 3 say this: "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the circumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And chapter 3, verse 3 says this: "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. Thank you all for remaining standing. You may be seated. So on this Mother's Day, we continue our series that we will take about 5 weeks on the Christ life, on Christ as our sanctifier. Last week, we laid the foundation that Christ is life. It's not just something that he gives to us, it's something that he is. Christ is life. He is the author of life, and he is able to give us new life in him through salvation, making us the children of God as we receive him, as we believe in his name and we receive him by faith. But he is able to give us his life because he is life. This morning, we want to talk about the issue of identity as we look at this topic of Christ as our sanctifier, who we are. In the simple title of the message this morning, there are sermon notes in your bulletins. There'll be some more notes on the screen, but the simple title is "In." Not because of it being in or out, but of being in Christ. The scriptures talk about we are in Christ and Christ is in you, this mystery that gives us our identity. And so we want to look at the topic of identity this morning from the book of Colossians. So if you're like me and you like a good spy action thriller kind of mystery movie, then a great movie for you is The Bourne Identity. How many have seen The Bourne Identity? All right, so The Bourne Identity begins with finding a man in the middle of a body of water with a light flashing on him. Don't know why he's there. You don't know how he got there, but a fishing boat comes up alongside of him, pulls him in. They're not sure whether he's dead or alive, and as the scene unfolds, they find he's got bullet holes in him. He's alive, but barely. They do some emergency surgery on this fishing boat. What a great opening to a movie. And as he wakes up, he has absolutely no idea who he is. He has absolutely no idea how he got in that fishing boat, or even why he was in the water. He has had complete amnesia. He doesn't know anything about himself. But as the movie unfolds, there are all these amazing action scenes where assassins are after him, and he finds that though he doesn't know who he is or what he is about, he knows all of these skills to be able to defend himself. He knows to watch this way and that way, and he has all of this that he is learning about himself slowly throughout the course of the movie. And in the course of the movie, he finds out that he has somehow been a part in his life of a CIA covert program, and he's kind of a spy assassin and all of these things. But as he is learning his identity, he's finding that his name is Jason Bourne. And throughout several movies after, the story gets filled out. It's a lot of fun. There are some things in it that I'm not going to say are the best parts of entertainment for you. So take that with a grain of salt if you go. It's like, Pastor Mark recommended this movie. So be ready to fast forward through a couple spots. But the story of the Bourne identity, and we see how important our identity is in knowing who we are and how we are to live. You see, one of the most important keys to experiencing the Christ life is figuring out this issue of identity. We all are living out of some sort of identity. And there are many identities that we can live out of, identities that are not rooted in Christ, and many of those identities will serve us very, very well, but they will not lead us to the abundant life in Christ. They will not lead us to Christ-likeness. They will not lead us to the Christ life. In fact, I believe that this idea of identity, that if we don't get this one right, that it may be the thing that keeps us from experiencing the Christ life. Because if we don't understand who we are, we will not be able to experience in experiential ways the life of Christ being lived out through us. We need to understand who we are, because identity brings us into alignment with Christ. And as we are brought into alignment with Christ, we are able to find who we truly are, and his life is able to be lived more and more powerfully through us. This morning, we want to look at the basis of our identity. We want to look at the bane against our identity, and we want to look at the basics of our identity this morning as we look into this mystery of what it means to be in Christ. So, three things to know. The first, this is the basis of our identity. The basis of our identity is all about our position in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, tells us about the basis or our position in Christ and our identity. Paul tells us two things. He tells us, first, that you and I died. Now, last week we talked all about life, didn't we, if you were here? We talked about how Christ is the life, and as we receive him, we receive his life in us, that as he is our Savior, as we become children of God, we receive life. We are born again by the Spirit of God. We become the children of God, and his life is given to us as we become a child of God. Life. So what in the world does all of this have to do with dying? You would say, boy, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Last week, all about life. Now you're telling me I died? Well, when you receive the life of Christ, when you became a child of God and you received his life, the identity of who you were before died. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. There was a death that took place. Your old life died. There was a change of identity from not being a child of God to being a child of God, from being in darkness to being in life, from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. But the way that that happens is something had to die. Our old life had to die. Our old identity had to die to get this new identity in Christ. If I go back to that illustration of Jason Bourne, in the later Bourne movies, we learn that Jason Bourne became Jason Bourne by agreeing to be a part of this covert CIA kind of program. And before, he was David Webb, who was in the army, and he signs up for this program, and through the course of his training over time, they say David Webb no longer exists. David Webb has died. Jason Bourne is now alive. Jason Bourne is who you are. And in that way, we have died. Who we were before Christ has died in our position, and we now have a new life. It's true for him. It's true for us. You were alive before as another identity. You died to that identity. But not only did you die to that identity, but your life, Paul says, is now hidden with Christ in God. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Would you agree with me that if Paul ended as you died, that would be quite depressing. That would be not good news. But he is saying that as you died in this old identity, you now were alive in a new identity. You were hidden with Christ in God. Understand, this is a mystery that occurs in the spiritual realm, because when you become a believer in Christ, when you believe in Christ, when you receive him, for many, you may say, yeah, I might have felt something, but it wasn't like this huge thing that you're like, oh, now I know, and I felt this thing being sucked into Christ, and I'm hidden in Christ and God. There wasn't this whole thing where you're like, wow, I just got sucked into Christ and hidden with him and God. But positionally, in the spirit realm, the mystery of what God has done for us that we need to take by faith, we need to begin to comprehend it in our minds and in our thinkings, that will change the way that we live, is this. When you died, your life is now hidden with Christ and God. It begins by learning. It begins by taking this whole concept by faith. And when I think of this whole idea of your life being hidden in Christ with God, I think of these Matryoshka dolls that my wife Steph has. Somehow along the way, she got them. They're Russian in nature. And these little dolls are made of wood, and there's something interesting about them. They pop open. And the way that they work is there are actually two more of these, to where there's one little itty-bitty one. And you take these and you stick them in each other so that all of them will fit into this large one doll. So you can either display it as just sitting on a mantle as one, or you can open them up and display them as a family of five. And so in a way, by understanding, we understand that they can fit one in another. And that's kind of the way it is for us. We have these ideas in our minds. We need to understand intellectually so that we can begin to take by faith the reality that before Christ, as you came to him, that old life died. And that by faith, we need to understand that your life is now hidden in God. But as we understand this position, as we understand the basis of our identity, something begins to happen in this process of sanctification, is that we begin to then experience this whole thing of how it works, of our life being hidden in Christ with God. For a moment, I could just tell you about it, and you had to believe me, right? But as you believe me, and I show you how it's done, now you have experience, and these little guys have experience, about what it means for them to be hidden one inside of another. And so this morning, I want to ask you to believe me. Not because I'm saying it, but because the scriptures say it. that when you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, as you believed in his name, as you received him and you became a child of God, there was a transaction that happened in the spiritual realm. Your old life died. And your life became hidden with Christ in God. That's who you now are. The more we begin to recognize this identity, the more we begin to take it by faith, the more we begin to change the way that we think, the more that we begin to allow God to take this truth and align us with him in position, you will begin to find changes in the way that you live experientially. Without this basis of identity, without you understanding that your life, as it was before Christ, is now dead, and that you are hidden with Christ in God, as you understand this, it is what will open up your experience of Jesus as sanctifier. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Does that sound good? Sort of? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with everything good, there's also something that wants to oppose it. There's an enemy to everything good in this life, isn't there? And that is that we have this thing called pride. So there is a bane to your identity. There is an enemy. There is a nemesis. There is something coming out of you living in this identity. And so the bane of your identity is pride. If our ideal in living this is that we would live Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, that we died and our life is now hidden in Christ, straight as an arrow. If we live according to that in alignment with our identity in Christ, we are going to find experientially life in Christ. But pride comes in. And it comes in one of two ways. It comes in what I'm going to call bright pride. When I talk about bright pride, this is the way we often think about it. It's the pride of life. It's this worldly kind of pride that says, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. Look at my life. I'm killing it. I don't need God. I've got it. It's the kind that brazen, proud people just, you could see it emanating from their life. I've got this. No one else has helped me with it. I am the master of my destiny. God has nothing to do with it. I don't need him. I've got it. But there's another kind of bright pride, a kind that infects Christians. It's a self-righteous kind of pride. It's the kind of pride that catches believers and hinders our experience of the Christ life, of getting us off and out of alignment with our identity in Christ. Oftentimes, this kind of church pride, self-righteous pride, begins with, I know I am a sinner and I cannot save myself, and Jesus is the only one who can save me. And so I placed my faith and my trust in Christ, and he made me a child of God. He saved me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sounds good, right? Absolutely it is. But then it progresses from there. I've got it now. My becoming like Jesus is up to me. It's my effort. It's my ability. I'm going to earn and deserve. I'm going to live in a way that shows Jesus that I've got this. It can also manifest itself in a way that says, look at my life. Look at the blessing in my life. Look at the favor in my life. Look at the way God is working in my life. And here's the reason why. It's because I have obeyed God very, very well. And because I have obeyed God very, very well, look at all that he's now doing for me. Turns into this transactional kind of thing, and everything that is good in our lives spiritually is because I somehow have gotten God to bless me. This is the kind of pride that turns us to dependence on ourselves and away from dependence on Christ. There's a second side of pride, what I'll call shadow pride. And this is the pride that I believe a lot of Christians have. It's often masked with humility. It comes to the place of saying, I'm not worthy. I'm such a failure. Why would God ever love me? Not there are things that I do wrong, but rather there is something wrong with me. This is a shame-based, guilt-based, self-condemnation kind of pride. And we often pass it off as humility. But what we're saying in all of that is, I know better than God just how bad I am. I know better than God that I'm a miserable failure. I know better than God that He really shouldn't love me. I don't know why He does. I know better than God. Both of these will take us away from the center of life in Christ. As I was thinking this week about this and about bright pride and shadow pride, immediately an experience in my life came back, all the way back to 2000, so 25 years ago, an experience came back to me. There was an award that was given every year at the college I went to, Nyack College, for the athletic department. They would have an end-of-the-year athletic banquet, and all the teams would come, and every team would be honored, and there would be awards given. And the final award of the night was an award that was typically given to a senior. And it was a culmination award of 4 years of athletic performance, of character, of spiritual development in life, of leadership on the field and off the field. And so it was like, we're honoring this person in our athletic department for 4 years of this. And as the MC of the night was kind of giving the explanation of what this award was all about, my coach leaned over to me and he said, I really had to fight for you to get this. I really had to fight for you to get this, for you to have earned this. And I remember hearing that and going, what in the world? And just a matter of seconds later, my name being called. And so we were all the way in the back, and I had to walk all the way up, and everyone's applauding as I go up to the front, up to the stage to get this award. And the presenter of the award just whispered to me, you're going to need to say anything. No one else had to say anything all night, but this award, you have to say something. And what came out of my mouth shocked me even as I was saying it. It was, if you all really knew me, you would know I don't deserve this. And I just kind of elaborated that on a little for a few more moments and walked off. And it was like the oxygen got sucked out of the room. Because, I mean, here you go. You got this award that's the culmination of the night, and the recipient of it is, I don't deserve this. I'm miserable. And you could tell people were like, we don't know what to do with that. And I didn't know what to do with that. I walked away going, what in the world did I just say? But as I look back on that, what I understood was this. I didn't understand my identity in Christ. I at that time did not have any secret sin in my life. I did not have any like real big hypocritical thing that it was like I was portraying this and I was over here. There was nothing in my life at the time that I knew of that was like, boy, I'm just a hypocrite up here. But yet that's where I went. I went to shame. I went to self-condemnation. I went to this, I'm a miserable failure. And I don't deserve this or anything. In my mind at the time, I think I was responding in what I thought was the humble way. But what I responded with was shame and self-condemnation and guilt. I still struggle sometimes when someone gives me a compliment that I go towards the shadow side of pride. Of, oh, I'm miserable. Because I didn't understand. I didn't know. I had not internalized and really believed my identity in Christ. On this Mother's Day especially, this whole thing of pride will war against moms, I believe. Because there can be the times when you feel like you're killing it. I mean, I'm the example of the greatest mom in the world, and all the other moms should just do what I'm doing, and man, look at my kid, and look at how well things are going. And that's just bright pride. As I hear a lot of moms, though, as well, I think probably more moms are on the shadow side of pride. Of, oh, man, this isn't going the way I thought it was going to go. Or, man, this was, maybe I'm just not the mom that I thought I was. And you feel the shame. You feel this self-condemnation. You feel this guilt. For all of us, whether we're a mom on this Mother's Day or just seeking to live out this life in Christ, aligning ourselves with who we are in Jesus is the most important thing we can do to find life in Him. So based out of that, basis of you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, I want us to spend these last moments looking at the basics of what this identity looks like for us. Colossians 2, 6 to 15, there are at least six descriptors of what the basics of our identity look like. The first is this: you received Christ as Lord. Verse 6, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, Paul reminds the Colossians where we started last week that you have received Jesus as Lord. And even if today you would say, you know what, I'm still not sure that I'm in a place where I can say with certainty I am a child of God, I would love to talk with you following the service this morning to help you to understand and to walk into that place where you know that you are a child of God, that you've received His life, that Jesus is your Lord, that you have become His child, that you have received His life. That's the entry point. Paul gives an admonition that as you have received, to continue to live in Him, the rest of verse 6, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It's not a one-time decision. It's the beginning of a life following after Jesus, growing in Him. The basics of your identity begin there, that you received Christ as Lord. And because you have received Christ as Lord, you have fullness. Verses 9 and 10, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Paul says that all the fullness, or another way to say this, all the completeness of God lives in Jesus in bodily form. From the moment that He took on flesh at the incarnation and what we celebrate as Christmas with Him being born, He was fully God and fully man. Completely God, completely man, all at once. And as He lived, and as He died, as He was buried, and as He was resurrected to new life, He now lives and will forever live in this fullness of God and man in bodily form. It's not that Jesus took on flesh for this period of time, and once He ascended into heaven, He went back to the other form before He took on flesh. For all of time, and all the rest of eternity forevermore, he will exist as the glorified Son of God in bodily form, fully God, fully glorified as the first fruits of our resurrection, of what we have to look forward to. And so all the fullness of God, all the completeness of God lives in Jesus in bodily form. How many of you believe that? Now, how many of you believe this second part? And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. How many of us believe that because we are hidden with Christ in God, that the same fullness and the same completeness that Jesus has been given to us in him? How many of us believe that? That's intense. How many of us feel like we are complete in him? And this is the rub. This is the rub in living the Christ-like. This is our position that we need to get our heads around, and we need to believe that we lack nothing. In Christ, we lack nothing. Yesterday at the Alliance Men's Breakfast, we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. Our position is such that in Christ, as we are with him in the heavenly realms, our identity is in him, we have everything we need. As we will talk over these next couple weeks about living this in experience, the goal of the Christian life is that what we have been given, we learn to access in Christ. We learn to live it out more and more on a daily basis. That the fullness and the completeness that we have been given in Christ becomes more of his life being lived through us. And we say, I'm more alive. I have more of Christ's life living through me. Being hidden in Christ with God, we've been given this fullness in Christ. See, this cannot be earned. This cannot be deserved. And so it will combat and it will destroy that kind of bright pride. And this is given to us fully by God's grace, fully in love, which destroys the shadow side of pride that says the issue of your value and of your worth was all settled at the cross of Jesus Christ. He says, in you, I see value. And so I put this in you. Boy, that lifts you out of that shadow side of pride, out of shame, out of guilt, out of self-condemnation, when we understand that he says, you have been given this fullness in Christ. It's good news. Amen? The basics of your identity. Also in this position is you and your sinful nature has been put away. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised. In putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Circumcision was an act that was done to God's people on the eighth day of a male's life, identifying them as God's covenant people. But this is not a circumcision of the body, Paul says. But rather it's a circumcision of the heart or of the sinful nature, that just as circumcision cuts and puts a portion of a person away, so the spiritual nature, spiritual circumcision that is done to our sinful nature puts it away. Sin no longer has power over you. You and I, we are not slaves to sin any longer. We can say no to sin because the Christ life empowers us and teaches us to say no to our sinful nature and to find freedom from it. You know, a toddler what's the most natural word that a toddler says? No. No. Friends, the more that we understand our sinful nature has been put away, and the more we begin to experience the life of Christ in us, our natural word is going to be no. But it's not going to be against our parents. It's not going to be in rebellion against others. It's going to be to say no to sin. The more we understand who we are, and the more Jesus changes our thinking and lives through us, the more sin rears its ugly head in us, and we simply say, no, I don't have to do that again. I don't have to obey this because it has been circumcised. It has been put away. This is my position. Basics of our identity as well is that you and I are now alive in Christ. You might have to click on you and I are now alive in Christ. You were made alive in Jesus. Just as Jesus died, verses 12 to 13, the rest of that passage, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Just as Christ died and was buried, but then was raised to new life, so we have been united with him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection through this baptism which we have been included by in his spirit. We have died, and we have been made alive with Christ through our faith in God's power. And when that took place, Paul says that you and I are forgiven of our sin. Verses 13 and 14, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that has stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, the law of God, with all of its written rules and regulations of how to live a holy life, all of them written, and all of them, all of yours and all of my breaking of those regulations. If there was a sheet in heaven of all of the regulations of God, if all of the laws of God, there would be ways that I have broken every single one of them. And here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he took that and he nailed it to the cross. He took all of the laws and the regulations that condemn you and all the ways that I and you have disobeyed and sinned against them, and he took them and he nailed them to the cross as he was nailed to the cross. And the sin of the world, my sin and your sin, were laid upon him. He paid for it there. And he says, your debt has been paid. You are forgiven. Is that good news? That is good news. And not only are you forgiven of your sin, but lastly, you are released from the evil one's power. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You are released from the evil one's power. In addition to forgiveness, the evil one's power over you and claim over you was broken. You are now hidden in Christ with God, and he no longer in position has a legal right over your life. But just as with sin, as we continue to battle it, we battle the enemy. And so part of living in this experiential life with Christ is finding and saying, these things no longer have power over me. It's the process of allowing Jesus, as we are in Christ, to make these true of us. Because you and I died, and our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. As we close, I want to show you just a very short video that you're going to see for the next couple weeks, because this short video will give you a visual of what the Christ life looks like. It's a video of a hydroelectric dam and the gate, a gate that has not been opened before, being opened for the first time in a long time. And this is what happens when we begin to align ourselves with our identity in Christ. When we begin to believe it and put our faith in who we are in Christ, it's as if the gate to the Christ life gets opened. Watch what happens. There's a little bit of power there, isn't there? All that power was held behind a gate in the dam. And all that power was stopped up by a bunch of gunk. But as the gate was opened and the gunk began to get pushed through, power in the water just flowed. And you saw how far out it shot. Friends, none of that unleashing of the power of Christ in our lives happens if the gate is closed. And the first step to opening the gate is aligning ourselves with who we are in Christ. To begin to believe and to allow the truths of what Paul wrote in Colossians to begin to transform the way that we think. I have died, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. And because my life is hidden with Christ in God, all of his fullness is in me. I am forgiven. I no longer have the claim of the enemy on my life. All of these are true of me and true of you. It is who you are in Christ, as Christ is in you. I just want to pray for us in these moments that the Lord, maybe for the first time, or maybe we just need to reorient ourselves, or he is going to take us deeper in understanding who you are in Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this tremendous, amazing reality that you, as we have received Jesus as Lord, you have brought us into your life in Christ. Our life and position is now hidden with Christ in God. Father, may we see our old life truly as having died, and a new life alive to Christ, our current reality. God, would you do the work in us as we wrestle over this idea that we would come to the place of believing what your word says about who we are in Christ, that Christ, by his Spirit, may live powerfully through us. That we would not settle for just an ordinary Christian life, but that the supernatural life and power of the risen and glorious Christ, the one by whom and for whom and through whom all things were made and all things are held together in, would be lived more through us. God, reorient my thinking. Reorient our thinking, that we would believe that who you say we are is truly who we are. That we might align ourselves with our identity in Christ. Spirit of God, in this moment and in the week to come, would you align our thinking, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.